8, 6, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Radio Art Hour, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Created specifically for terrestrial AM/FM broadcast, whether it be by commercial, public, community, or independent transmission. Come on a journey with us as radio artists explore broadcast radio space through poetic resuscitations and playful celebrations, subversions of the complex relationship between senders and receivers in this hour of radio about radio. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the Radio Art Hour and Wavefarm's Radio Art Archives.
I'm Tom Rowe at the Wave Farm, and today we are going to feature the works of Nicholas Collins, born in 1954, a composer of electronic music and former student of Alvin Lucier on the Radio Art Hour. Collins is also currently editor-in-chief of Leonardo Music Journal, a peer-reviewed academic journal published by the MIT Press. He's also the chair of the sound department of the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. And in 2006, he published a book called Handmade Electronic Music, The Art of Hardware Hacking. Later today on the Radio Art Hour, we're going to hear about his Pea Soup to Go app, an open access version of his composition Pea Soup. But first, we're going to listen to The Spark Heard Round the World, a sonic portrait of the world as revealed through electromagnetic phenomena. It is shaped out of the tremendous buzz, hum, and squawk of the international communication system, commercial FM and AM, shortwave and longwave transmissions, ham and CB radio, public service bands, Morse code, telex, and other coded signals. A frenzied, noisy striving for communication that thickens into an almost tangible morass of sound, then loosens into sound patterns and light textures. The human voice and its messages seem strangely lost in this environment, distorted, barely audible, while the transmission system itself sounds vibrant and amazingly alive. This work by Nicholas Collins was commissioned by New American Radio. You can find their archives at wavefarm.org. Here is Nicholas Collins' The Spark Heard Round the World on the Radio Art Hour.
Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works. Conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wavefarm is thrilled to partner with New American Radio to ensure these works remain available to listeners today and into the future. New American Radio was organized by Helen Thorrington, executive producer, and Regina Beyer, associate producer. A special thanks to both Helen Thorrington and Joanne Green for their generous support and collaboration in this partnership. Up next is The Spark Heard Round the World by Nicholas Collins. Thank you for listening.
A trial.
To the Russian.
I was told, traveled past. And under orders, a million prisoners were trying to hurt.
And that is...
Every... added. No. All kinds. 65.
Between.
Perfect.
Relax now.
And
it's
been.
Behind where we are.
Pick up one for you. I'll be back.
You believe in radio and television, don't you? Try and explain how it works.
Is it really a good analysis?
You asked about the network. A whole bunch of repeaters are tied in together. What it is, it's a full duplex network. There is, it goes all the way from Long Island, Millville, Long Island in the south, up through Scotty Monk, which is a repeater on UHF in the Mid-Hudson Valley. Up into Albany, up into Killington, and eventually plans are to reactivate a system up in the Tupper Lake area near the Canadian border.
If I listen very carefully, I might get a little fried eggs on your signal. Very, very little bit of it. But, only because you asked. If you hadn't asked, it would have been a perfect copy.
The whole network are two people out on Long Island. Mark WB2ERS, who you hear on the system from time to time, and also gentleman named Gordon,
W1GTB.
They're sort of architects of the whole network.
Okay, we'll catch you later on there at 2HMD. And I tell you what, I'm going to start stringing out another antenna on the other side of the roof, so I'll have a little bit of clock power later on tonight. So I'm going to take a temporary 73. I'm just watching some action downstairs. Somebody came up on my floor tonight, and he had a machete with him. And there was some nonsense going on, so I cleared out a building for a little while, so I'm grateful I wasn't around to see all the gore. I don't think there's any gore, but there's some kind of nonsense going on.
Mark WB2ERS, who essentially is one of the designers of the system, and his headquarters, if you will, is out on Long Island.
Good evening there, Harold.
As far as the TW4000, that's a nice radio. I don't own a 4000. I've got a Kenwood PS811A here, which I'm quite
pleased with. Yeah, N2IJU, WB2HHW. Pretty good. I was listening to Don 700 there to the NASA operating hour.
Out of the west and the southwest, but unfortunately, you don't see too much of that in the east.
What's that, Harold?
One of the rare exceptions that activity like that is occurring, at least in the northeast.
Yeah, I've been listening to the space shuttle operas down on the 700 machine.
Primarily a 220 system, but networking and remote
base. I forgot about that space shuttle. By the way, I'm going to be driving by your cage in another 30 seconds, but I have passengers in the car here. If you look out right now, you should see me passing by.
Yeah, that's for sure. What
Roger,
does that say now? The current 80s trend with tires, the black wall, everything's got that European look.
I didn't even know that the thing took up. I waited for it that morning.
Black, so
it didn't go, and then I forgot about it.
Some cars look good in white walls, but
I got up at 9 o'clock, and it took off at 11:30 that morning, and then I had the repeater on, and it was beautiful listening to it on a repeater. You heard them directly on the machine? The people in the shuttle?
Any better than Doc?
I'm planning on you.
At least you seem better than the Doc.
When the dog sings, it sounds like he's got something stuck in his throat.
Are you gonna take that sitting down?
Thomas is on a mission.
The job here on Ludlow? Hold on, yeah, just sat down. What do you got? All right, I have 7 Charlie, 7 Sergeant, and 7 Boy going on a 31 in this. 5 Eddie. All right, anybody to back? Where are you, Eddie? Units, I don't know where you are. You're telling me, Eddie, I show you.
All units, stand by. Quick ladder 113, ladder 113.
Going to Crown Street.
At 3 p.m. at Central Park under sunny
He's
sky,
going to
the
Street.
Temperature was up to 72 degrees.
F4.
The relative humidity, 53%.
Book engine 283.
2.54 degrees.
283.
Wind west southwest.
283, 174, the firing battalion out of 120.
Was
falling on 1605, 1605. The address 356 Crowns. 356 Utica, 356 Utica, Crown to Carroll for Laundry. 283.
Wind west southwest.
Battle 174. 5-8 battalion.
Around the city. Battle 1-4. Temperatures were in the upper 60s to low 70s.
1-2-0, 10-4.
Readings were between 65 and 70 degrees. Over New Jersey.
Can you go back to the center line?
Okay. All right, I'm just going to clean up a little in my room, okay?
All right. Marine operator, Kiban. Kiban is calling, over.
Hello?
It's Charlie, hi, it's Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
All right, that's right, I'll get to call you later. 100 pounds tomorrow, I'll be 150.
When you get in, all right?
Yeah, okay. I was going to call you later to find out what you were doing.
I have to go home and straighten up some stuff. That's a mess.
Okay.
Yeah, they broke all our pumpkins.
Okay.
I don't know who. I didn't see them.
Last call.
I shouldn't have left them out.
Just an idea of a sort of people's front.
Отчасти да. Трудно сказать, получит ли она гражданство. Может быть, такой
организации. Partially, yes, though it's hard to predict whether such a front would take root in the Soviet Union. Perhaps there's no need for it. The opinions are split here. The solution might be to convene a Congress of People's Deputies of the Soviet Union to represent directly the public organizations and individual citizens through deputies elected along the railroad line. The Congress has been suggested by the Communist Party as the highest representative body and the flash it can convene.
На предложенията на легални организации в Балтийските републики, например, Минската несуверенитет за Армения, но на сега за по-голяма
економическа.
Deux positions à Mont de la Hille, la deuxième ville du pays, il y a eu des dizaines de morts des deux côtés. Selon certaines informations, des manifestants se sont saisis d'armes appartenant à des soldats, tandis que d'autres ont servi des armes.
nie rozhodnou o těle věmoci. Independent dále píše.
Valenta naléhá na vedení, aby poznalo solidaritu jako legitimního zástupce pracující. Zdá se, že stranické vedení přiznává, že by bylo snadnější zavádět úsporný.
Spiritual self and ego, the id, the real presence that lives within each of us.
Some people might be thinking now, listening to this conversation, what an absolute load of rubbish. What a load of baloney. I mean, and this is typical of sort of Los Angeles and California and Hollywood, they're all into this crazy stuff.
I don't think it's crazy, but I never try to change anybody's mind. Anyone who says to me, oh, well, you make me believe, I just laugh at them. Why should I make them believe? I don't need to go around making anyone believe. It is so.
Oh, my God. Սիրունակն նաշկելու համար ակնկալվում է, որ Հայաստանի երագույն խորհուրդը ևս Երևանում նիստ կգումարի նույնանման քննարկումներ կատարելու համար։
Հարավ Կորեացի հայրավոր ուսանողներ միացյալ նահանգների դեմ լոզունգներ արարակելով հակաոլիմպիական սպիտեր են կատարել Սեուլի և Ունամոստրաներում։
That was the Spark Heard Round the World from artist Nicholas Collins, who we're featuring today. In 2014, I interviewed Collins about his Pea Soup to Go open access version of his venerable feedback composition Pea Soup. Pea Soup to Go is a free streaming audio web application that generates an ever-changing domestic sound art installation on any computer. But let's let Collins explain it. Here is that interview. All right, this is Tom Rhodes via Skype, I believe from Chicago. We've got Nicholas Collins on the line. Nicholas, can you hear me?
I can indeed.
And we can hear you now, too. Let me turn that down a little, and we can hear you a little better. Are you in Chicago?
I am in Chicago. It's a rare occasion when I'm actually sitting in my apartment, but yes, I am.
All right, well, welcome. We've got you here because you have a new app of one of your... classic compositions, Pea Soup, called Pea Soup to Go, that has been released out into the World Wide Web this week or recently, or how? Tell us about it.
We launched it on the 24th of October, which was the 40th anniversary of the first performance of the original piece. And what it is it's the kind of app that really shouldn't have to exist, which is it's basically a jukebox of about 70 recordings of concerts with this piece that have been done in the last 40 years. But what it does is it shuffles through them like random play, but it randomizes the input and output points, so it's not the same every time, and it does very long crossfades, like 20-second crossfades. You would think something like this would be utterly trivial, and it turned out to be more complicated than it really should have. But the idea is that the piece is, it's a 70s piece. It uses analog circuits to manipulate feedback in a room. And you basically get these sort of raga-like, very simple melodic patterns that are a function of the resonance of the room. It's sort of like I'm sitting in a room stage two. And it's kind of sweet because it always tunes itself to the space. And so every hall you do it in sounds different. And if you have musicians playing with it, because it responds to sound and movement, it always gives them a different sort of chart to play against.
And our listeners are hearing a bit of it behind you in the background live. We opened up the app online, which is at where is it at here?
Well, it's my website, which is just nicholascollins.com, and then if you do /peasoup2go one word, it's there. But if you just Google my name and find my site, you can navigate your way through to it.
And can you tell us what were you thinking it was 1974 when you put this piece together? Or,
mm-hmm.
Tell us about the origination of the original piece.
It's so funny to think about how primitive things were back then. And I think of myself as a child of modernity compared to my predecessors. But, everything was always primitive earlier than it is now. So, at the risk of sounding obvious, there were no laptops. There was no MIDI. There were no effect boxes and all of this. It's like, what do you have to make electronic music with when you're not terribly wealthy in 1972? Well, a microphone and a speaker, duh. So I think surely it's true now as well, but maybe more true back then, that every youngster trying to do experimental music went through a feedback phase. I mean, we all did. And as you know, when you wiggle a mic around a speaker, it changes pitch, And a little bit of sort of poking around, I realized that, of course, what's happening is that the room's like a big bugle or something. And when you move the mic, it's like overblowing the different harmonics of the room, right? And I happened upon this incredibly cool circuit in our studios at Wesleyan, which was a kind of a phase shifter. And in the days before digital delays, this box made very, very short time delays, like time delays on the order of microseconds instead of seconds. Yeah. And if you stuck that between the mic and the speaker, it basically emulated moving the microphone. So it was like the lazy man's microphone mover, which meant that if you changed the phase delay, you could change what pitch of feedback came out. So with that basic technology happening, I basically set up these sort of multiple channels of this as a sort of self-stabilizing network. And it did. It just sort of created this sort of tranquil, minimalist series of pitches, like a kind of a really laid-back melody that was a function of the resonance of the room. And, it was very much of the time. It was the 70s. We were still recovering from 1968, and the studio was redolent of the smell of marijuana and patchouli. This was sort of in the air at the time. So it was very kind of easygoing, open-form piece.
But I guess you can kind of listen to musical history, and if you can hear the the technology of the time is kind of, like you were saying at the beginning, was kind of driven by. You can hear at that time that artists that didn't have a lot of a large budget. The best tool to work with was something like this. The feedback sound cropped up again and again because it was the instrument that was accessible, sort of at the time.
Yeah, and you know what's so sweet is that we then get to a state in say the 90s when everybody's. You know, really, I mean, the computer thing is just zooming up on you, exponentially increasing power, you know. And yet what comes out in the sort of late 90s is circuit bending, obviously, is a sort of like a, gee, let's do something that's very, very sort of funky and hands-on. But the other is that the most recent generation of feedback artists are the ones doing the no-input mixing, you know, like Toshi Nakamura and a host of others, where again it's going down back to feedback as this sort of primordial electronic source. And what happened to me was that when I left the school, I lost access to these very cool boxes, and they were, you know, kind of unique, if that's not a stupid use of language. And you know, I moved on to do other stuff, and every now and then I'd return to feedback as some kind of material and use it in some other way. But then at the end of the 90s, because it works very nicely with instruments, a group that I was working with when I was living in Berlin asked if they could, if we could figure out how to revive the piece. So through a sort of comical series of correspondence with the original designer and attempts at circuit building, I cloned it in circuitry, and we did a couple of gigs, and then I wasn't wholly satisfied with my imitation of the original device, so I decided to do a recreation in software. So this was sort of very, very kind of trendy thing to do at the end of the 90s, beginning of the noughts, is to look at really old school analog electronic music and figure out how to do it on your laptop. So I created a program that I tweaked over time, and it basically did a pretty good job of emulating the original stuff, and it meant that I could throw this piece back into repertoire. And having a piece like this in repertoire for a musician, it really puts you in the wandering minstrel state of mind, because it's sort of like wherever you go, you try to do something that relates to the what's appropriate in the space. So in some cases, in the case of a minstrel, you try to figure out what scandals are befalling the court, and you turn that into bawdy lyrics. And when you're working in sort of like experimental electronic and acoustical music, you say, well, I guess every concert hall is basically a gift to me in terms of giving me musical material for a performance. So it became a sort of like a preamble to a lot of my concerts over the last 10, 15 years or so. And that's where all these recordings came from.
And I guess to pull your 20-year wave from the 70s to the 90s to now, we should, I guess, organize some sort of orchestra where everybody has a cell phone and is playing your app into a microphone that's feeding back into the room or something.
Yeah, that could be really irritating. It's so funny, you know, because feedback is that sort of devil's material, right? I mean, it's just one step to the side of Robert Johnson in terms of its sort of historic associations as this kind of rage. And yet that time in the 70s, everything was very mellow. It was the decade of the triangle wave and the sine wave, you know. Everything was very sort of clean and smooth. And I figured out just a handful of tricks that made the feedback this sort of very beautiful sort of under control dreamy soundscape, which is, you know, sort of my biggest problem as a composer is everything I do is sort of dreamy and unaggressive, and I'm only recently at a late age beginning to come out of it. But you know, the problem is I had all these recordings, and I had this weird idea that since every concert hall is in a different key, that I would create an edited sequence of excerpts of these recordings that would be like some ponderous heavy metal anthem slowed down a lot, you know, with those sort of chords with ninths and sevenths in them that I don't understand why anyone would ever play them on a guitar, but they do. So but my problem was indecision, that every time I tried to sequence them in any particular way, I thought, well, I could also do it another way. And that's when I began to work on this app, because I figured, well, why not just have it be a random play function? And then every time you hear it, you get a kind of different sequence of spaces. And it took a long time to do, because it turns out that it's not easy to get web browsers to play back two sounds at the same time, which is kind of like strange, but it's true. They're really about playing one sound after another.
I mean, any device, it's difficult to get to play, not just any app on it.
It's true. I mean, try to get your iPod to do a crossfade in your iTunes.
There's a one DJ app that's come out, and they're more sophisticated and they cost more money, all of them.
Right. Yeah, and so I had this wonderful ex-student from the Art Institute named Nick Britz, who's absolutely brilliant programmer. He's very involved in the sort of data hacking and field, and he's just brilliant. And so he finally, I think he was the third programmer I worked with, and he finally got the thing going. And it's nice because, I mean, the biggest problem I had was trying to convince people who were interested in sort of publishing or promoting it that it couldn't be sold. You know, because it actually doesn't run very well on phones. It's really a kind of a computer-based app. But the thing is that I used to put out records and cassettes and CDs in the 80s. And in the end, last sort of big projects I did were towards the end of the 90s. And kind of post-file sharing, I get this feeling that when you put out a CD, I mean, unless you're Jay-Z, everything just gets lost in the blogosphere. I mean, I can't imagine how you find records anymore, because there's so many of them. So I sort of despaired of making some kind of a record that I could sell and that, you know, would attract enough attention that people could find it.
And you're not touring the country in a van and need something to pay for gas as you go along either.
No, and I'm told that actually T-shirts sell better than CDs anyway. So maybe I should embed the app in a shirt. That could.
It won't be long.
Yeah. Actually, I should think about that. But
if you can get the image to move like that on the shirt.
Oh, would that be nice if you could have spinning images on shirts? I'll work on that one. We have a very, very hip Department of Fiber and Material Studies at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. And if I just put that teaser out saying I want them to figure out a way that we can make things spin on a shirt, I'm sure I'll get something back in a week.
Have you looked at the page when you were hungover yet?
Which one? The one
your page, the Pea Soup to Go page. Yes.
Yeah, it is. It is. I tell people it's basically an audio screensaver. You know, it just sort of sits there, and it's good for when you're doing the cleaning and, you know, insomnia. It's good for insomnia. And, you know, it just sort of drifts around, and then if you're interested, you can click on it and find the details of where an individual performance you're listening to took place and who's playing on it. I mean, there's some amazing musicians who've participated in this piece over the years, from, George Lewis is in there, Ben Neal is in there, Garth Knox, Robert Paus from Band of Susans, Peter Cusack, who's a sort of a wonderful improvising guitarist and bouzouki player from London, Jonathan Impet, who's a British trumpet player I've worked with for a long time. A pretty remarkable range of musicians who very often are so deeply entwined in the feedback that you're not even sure they're playing.
And do you have favorite spaces that are included? Because the space plays as much a role as these performers, is that?
Oh yeah, that's true. I mean, I shouldn't begrudge the architects. Sorry, architects, but. Well, I do have – there's one track on there that was recorded in what's called an ice cellar in Brussels, where under the city of Brussels, they sort of hollowed out this sort of artificial cave. It may have been a cave to begin with, but they made it much, much bigger. And it looks sort of like a dumbbell when you're in it, and it's absolutely enormous. It's like three stories tall, and they used to use it to store ice in. During the summer, they'd fill it up in the winter, and they'd store that there in the summer for when you needed ice for, I don't know, whatever you need ice for in the summer, making gin and tonics, I guess. And this thing was just, you know, one of those awesome spaces of the sort that, for example, Pauline Oliveros and her Deep Listening Band always search for. And a friend of mine came up to me partway through the gig. It was just a long kind of installation for an hour and a half one night. And he looked at me and he said, "Church of Sound." And you know, that happens with those big spaces. There's a very nice recording I have with George Kramashi from Oakland on double bass. It was done in a monastery in the Czech Republic that similarly just has this insane reverb time. For those of us who are obsessed with actually knowing what we're listening to, and this goes back to the people who used to always read the record cover while listening to the music in their room as teenagers, you can link through from the app, which is like a complete sort of random play thing, to another part of my website where all the tracks are there in a historical sequence with, you know, sort of all the information in front of you, and you can sort of pick and choose, put together what you want.
Yeah, this is Adelaide 2010 is playing right now.
Adelaide. Ah, yeah. I think it's like a cello and a saxophone on there, maybe. It's kind of funny because, you know, this piece, you work with pickup musicians wherever you go, and it's sort of like inviting someone to a seance in your hotel room because, you know, you have never have any idea what's going to happen, and you don't, you're not really sure whether these musicians are going to, you know, be the right ones for it or not. And you sort of have to tell people to not do much. But it's very pleasing, and it's a very immersive experience as a performer. And listening to it as an app, I mean, what can I say? Like I mentioned earlier, it certainly isn't very irritating, if you want to put it in that category.
Now, it kind of is sort of similar to the what is it, the Buddha boxes?
Yeah, I suppose it has a kind of a, but it's like a Buddha box cheap, because the Buddha box guys actually had to figure out what what notes they were going to put in it, and of course I didn't.
All right, did we leave anything out, or does that cover what Pea Soup to Go is all about?
No, it seems to be my gift to the world. In other words, I'm encouraging everybody to go listen to it because I sort of would like to have people listen to it, but it's not as though a penny goes into the coffer anytime you go. It's completely free, and you know, it's just it's pleasant to think that finally all this stuff is out there.
All right, Nicholas Collins, and you can go to nicholascollins.com/peasoup2go to listen to Pea Soup to Go. Thank you for Skyping in from Chicago.
Ah, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right.
6089 9.
That was the Radio Art Hour, mostly put together from the work of Wave Farm Radio Art Fellows. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the radio art you heard featured on the Radio Art Hour.
Zero, zero, and eight, and thanks. Zero, and eight, and thanks.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farm's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.